Thank you so much for attending Shepherd Church this weekend. Agua Dulce, Woodland Hills, Porter Ranch, and those watching online. We are in the midst of a four-week series on the subject of baptism, plus one extra week about sharing your faith. So altogether, it's a five-week series. And I am preaching all five of the messages. Today is the only weekend of the five that I could not be present physically. But because of the importance of the subject and the fact that this is coming out of my personal study of scriptures, I didn't want to have a guest speaker for any of these messages. Thus, as you can obviously see, I'm recording this message in order for you to hear all that God has put on my heart in regards to being baptized into Christ. Last weekend, instead of handing out sermon notes like we normally do in the bulletin, we handed out this 30-page booklet, and we're asking you to bring this with you for all five weekends. I spoke last weekend on the subject of the who, what, and why of baptism. If you missed last week's message, please go to liftupjesus.com and watch the message and fill in all the blanks in chapter one of your book. Obviously, I'm standing here in the baptistry of our Porter Ranch campus, and today I'm going to take you through the second chapter of your book. I want to welcome AJ, a young man who's come today to be baptized. We're going to start this message by baptizing AJ. AJ, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. Thank you for being here today. AJ, last week in church, we talked about the reason why any of us are baptized. First is because Jesus set the example for us. Secondly, we're baptized because he commanded us to be baptized. And the third reason is because it symbolizes, this is all symbolic, of Jesus dying on a cross, being buried, and then resurrecting. So we talked about all that last week, and we're again thankful that you've come here today. Before I baptize you, I want to ask you a couple of questions. We always ask these two questions. Question number one, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that?
Yes.
And is it your desire today to make this Jesus your Lord, your King, and your ruler?
Yes.
God bless you for that confession of faith. AJ, step right up here. Based upon your confession of faith that Jesus Christ is your Lord, I now baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ. Rise to walk in newness of life. Let's give it up for AJ. AJ, God bless you, buddy. He's a good man right there. I want you to grab your pen and your book, and today's lesson is entitled, More Than Getting Dunked. There are so many people, good people, smart people, godly people, that downplay the importance of being baptized. Many folks believe that baptism is not even necessary or important, that it's simply something you may or may not get around to doing, and some people believe that nothing spiritual is connected to it. I want to stress greatly that something spiritual happens when you're baptized. Something spiritually just happened when AJ was baptized. It is much more than merely being dunked. Something spiritual happens. Now, I will agree 100% with you that there's nothing magical about this water. It's just water. But something divine happens whenever you are obedient to God. There is something so divine, so amazing, so miraculous, so powerful that happens whenever someone decides to follow Jesus and they walk down that aisle to be baptized into his name. No matter what you have ever been told about being baptized, I want you to stay with us for the next few weeks. Let's look at all the scriptures that talk about baptism. Take careful notes. Read the Bible verses for yourself. And I believe that you too will reach the conclusion that being baptized is far more important than merely getting dunked. I want to show you a very special place on our campus. Let's go. So here we are at the special place. This is the outdoor baptistry on our Porter Ranch campus. And in 2 weeks, we're going to put up some pools, some outdoor swimming pools on all three campuses, including Porter Ranch, Agua Dulce, Woodland Hills. And if you've never been baptized, what we want is for you to listen to all four of these lessons. This is lesson number two. So you got this week and the next 2 weeks. Take good notes, and if you've never been baptized, we want to invite you to come and be a part of that special day, okay? Now, you may or may not know that this baptistry here in Porter Ranch, the outdoor baptistry, it was designed in the center of a cross. If you go way up into the air, you can see it. It's so pertinent that in the center of the cross is a baptistry, because something spiritual happened on the cross, and something spiritual happens when you're in that baptistry. Now, some people believe that baptism is a work. They actually call it a work. Of course, we know you're not saved by doing works. I hope you know that. But a lot of people trying to explain baptism away, that there's nothing spiritually significant about it, they'll say, well, you're not saved by works and baptism is a work. The problem with that is that nowhere in the Bible does it say that baptism is a work. It's not in the Bible. And so I totally reject the notion that baptism is a work. Let me explain this to you so that you can understand. Some people say that taking communion is a work, and I would agree that if you take communion to try to impress people around you, like you clear your throat, you take communion, and you go, hey, look here, I'm taking communion, well, then it's a work. But if you take communion because Jesus asked you to take communion, and He asked you to never forget what He did for you on the cross, it's not a work. You're not trying to earn your way into heaven, because you're doing it for the right reason and for the right purpose. You're doing it to honor the Lord. Some people in their giving, they give, they want everybody to see what they give. Yeah, I'm putting something in the offering plate. Well, if you're doing that to try to impress people, it is a work. You're doing it for the wrong reason. Likewise, stay with me, if you're getting baptized only to look like you're spiritual and you want to go around and, yes, I was baptized down there at the church, well, then that's probably a work. You are trying to earn your way into heaven. But if you're being baptized for the right reason and for the right motivation, it's not a work. You're simply honoring the Lord. And so I want you to write this down in your notes. Are you trying to impress men, or are you trying to obey God? Are you trying to appear godly, or are you trying to truly honor God? Are you trying to imitate faith, or are you trying to walk in faith? Come with me. Let's go get a cup of coffee, because I want to explain this to you so you can understand it. How are y'all doing?
Good.
You reading your Bibles? Life group?
Yes.
Oh, good job, good job. So we're in this series on baptism, and today's lesson is called More Than Getting Dunked. And of course, I hope each of you are dunked, that you are baptized. But as we've been talking, a lot of people think nothing truly spiritual happens when you're baptized. But in your notes, in your booklet, I want to give you 8 consequential connections. 8, I think, supernatural things when you're baptized. Let me grab a cup of coffee here. So, in looking at these 8 connections to you being baptized, the first 3 of the 8 we really looked at last week. And the first of the list of 8 is that we're following in Jesus' footsteps. that Jesus set the example. And here we are 2,000 years later, every believer in Jesus Christ, as they commit their life to Him, they walk that aisle, they make that decision, they're baptized into His name. You're doing exactly what Jesus came to set the example for you and for me and for the entire world. How wonderful is that? The second connection is that we're actually obeying His commands. Again, last week we looked at Matthew 28, where Jesus said His last words were to go into all the world, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when you're getting baptized, again, you're not doing it because I'm asking you to, or your parents want you to, or the church wants you to. You're doing it because Jesus asked you to do it. Let's go grab a chair. Let me go over this third consequential connection to you being baptized into His name. So the third thing on our list as far as consequential connections, when you're baptized, things that really, really matter, that bring in something supernatural, is the fact that your baptism is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you that text once again. We cannot read it enough. It says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, so that," here's the reason why, "that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Verse 5 reads that if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that is so important for us to realize, that you stand there in that water and they take you and they lower you underneath that surface of that water. You're being buried with Christ. And as you come up out of that water, it's symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know how you cannot see the connection to that. There's two or three things that are happening there. Number one, you're portraying your belief. So when you're standing there in that water, you are announcing, you're portraying that you personally believe that Jesus died. You're saying, "I believe that Jesus was buried." And you're saying, "I believe that Jesus resurrected." The second thing you're doing there is you're presenting your own personal desire to die to yourself, to bury the old you, and to have the new you raised. So the first thing you're doing is you're kind of presenting the fact that you believe that Jesus did those things, but now you're expressing your own desire to die to yourself, to bury the old you, and to see the new you come up out of that grave. Oh, that's wonderful. In essence, you're preaching your own testimony. You are preaching a sermon more powerful than I could ever preach, because the very essence of your baptism, standing there in that water, being lowered, announcing that you believe that Jesus died and He was buried, and you want to die and you want to bury the old you, and as you come up out of that, it's symbolic of the resurrection. Man, you're preaching a sermon. You're preaching your story of what's most important in your life. I you know, this whole lesson today is called More Than Just Getting Dunked. And I've got a little bit of a donut here. And a lot of people, you know, they like to dunk their donut in coffee. That is good. I'm not gonna lie. I apologize for doing that in front of you, but when you get baptized, you're not just getting dunked. You're not just getting dunked. It's not like jumping into a swimming pool and you're just getting wet. Oh, these are some of the most important things for you to know, that something spiritual truly is happening whenever a person is baptized. Now let's go back into the worship center to talk about the next consequential connection. It might surprise you how often I walk into this auditorium and look around at all these seats. I always think about what happened last weekend in here, and I always think about what's going to happen this weekend. And I imagine that there are angels up in heaven that are looking down in this room and thinking about people that need to get up and walk down these aisles. The fourth consequential connection with baptism is the truth that it requires, it's an action that requires humility. I will tell you, it is nerve-wracking to even walk into this room sometimes. And then to imagine walking down this aisle in front of all these people, that can be a very humbling experience. Did you know there are many people that will never come forward, they will never be baptized because they've got too much pride? Pride is the opposite of humility. But I want you to know that humility is the very first step to fully surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in James 4:10 that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, that He will lift us up. And so my prayer, it is a prayer for every person in this auditorium and in all of our campuses, that in a couple of weeks, when we ask people to come forward and actually make this decision, that there'll be hundreds of people who'll get up and walk down these aisles in humility and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, your baptism is indeed connected with being humble before the Lord God Almighty. The unfortunate reality is that for the past 2,000 years, and pardon my pun, man has been watering down the importance of baptism. The fifth element that proves that baptism is more than just getting dunked is to note that baptism was part of Peter's instructions on the very first day of the church 2,000 years ago. These instructions, these words, these scriptures are 2,000 years old. This was the first day of the church, the first sermon, the first invitation, the first response. And Peter told that crowd in Acts 2, verse 38, he said, "You all need to repent and you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You've got about six bullet points there in your notes. I want you to write this down. Peter said to repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Write this down. Those things are connected. He said, repent and be baptized. Those things are connected. They go hand in hand. You really can't do one without the other. And then he said, every one of you should repent and be baptized. In other words, there are no exceptions. Every single person in that crowd that day, he said, you need to repent and you need to be baptized. No exceptions. He didn't say repent, and if you think about it, if you get around to it, maybe one day out yonder, you can get baptized. No, he said, repent and be baptized, every single one of you. And then he said to do this in the name of Jesus. And whoever name you're being baptized into, that's the person you're submitting to. So when you come forward and you're baptized into the name of Christ, what that means is that you are submitting your life to Jesus Christ. And then he said these words, you're baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. And I want you to write this down. That's all sins, no matter what sin you've ever committed, no matter how many times you've committed that sin, no matter how bad and wicked and evil that sin, if you think it's a little sin or a big sin, the Bible says that all of your sins are forgiven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. Think about that. that every sin you've ever committed is gone. It's washed. You've been forgiven. Oh, that's great news. And then he said, you will receive a gift, and the gift that you receive is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the indwelling of God. That's where God comes to live, take residence, and lives within you. God's presence within you. And then he said that this is true for all generations, for all generations. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, he said this promise. Now, what promise is he talking about? He's talking about the promise of your sins being forgiven and the promise of you receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise of washed sins and the promise of the Holy Spirit, it's for you, it's for your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, for all who are far off, even those of you living in Southern California. He says, for all whom the Lord our God will call. You see, these promises, and they are promises, of your sins being forgiven and you receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, was not just for the people who lived in Acts chapter 2, but that promise is for all generations. This promise is for you. Don't try telling me that nothing spiritual happens when a person is baptized, that you're just getting wet or you're just getting dunked. Just read Acts 2, verse 38. It says on the very first day of the church, when you're baptized, there are two supernatural events that occur. One, your sins are washed away, and two, you receive the gift of God's Spirit. Just think, when you're baptized, you're doing something that was initiated 2,000 years ago on the very first day of the church, and we're still doing it today. That is amazing. The sixth consequential connection of your baptism is that it's how you're added to God's family. The moment, and I stress the moment, that you believe, that you repent, that you're baptized, your sins are washed, and you receive the Holy Spirit, it automatically puts you into the family of God. You say, well, Pastor, I want to become a Christian, but I'm not sure I want to belong to a church. I say to you, that's impossible. Becoming a Christian, being baptized, having your sins washed, and having the Holy Spirit placed within you automatically puts you into the family of God. Being a part of God's family is not just sitting in a large auditorium. I will give you that. It's much more of what happens in smaller groups. The Bible tells us that on that first day that there were 3,000 people that stepped forward. They all repented. They all were baptized. They all had their sins washed. They were Spirit-filled believers. But then the Bible uses this word. It tells us that those 3,000 people devoted themselves. Devoted, write that down. They devoted themselves to four things. And what were those four things that they were so focused on? Well, it tells us. First was the apostles' teaching, which we know today as the Word of God. What we have written down are the things, the teachings that those early apostles taught. The second thing they were devoted to is what the Bible uses the word fellowship. We know today that's this phrase that we use called life groups. In other words, they literally met in people's homes. And when you see this word fellowship, it doesn't mean they were just out socializing. No, that it's a word that means that they truly cared for one another. They truly loved one another. And so again, this was one of the things they were focused on, they were devoted to. The third thing that the early church was devoted to was the breaking of bread, or what we know today is communion, where you take those elements, the the bread and the juice, and you take that in remembrance of what Christ did on the cross. It was one of the reasons that they met, I believe, so frequently. They never wanted to forget what Jesus Christ had done on the cross. And so this was one of their primary focus points. The fourth was that they prayed from their hearts. They spent a lot of time in prayer, but they weren't saying, let's go to page 12 and let's read prayer number 3. No, they prayed like you and I pray, from our hearts. And so the early church devoted themselves to these four things. Now, your baptism is what connects you or adds you to God's family. It's that initiation point. You're now no longer going through life alone. You now belong to God's family. You become His son. You become His daughter. You become His child. And I think you know this, that every week here at Shepherd Church, as you know, we're here 2,000 years later, but I believe we're still focused and devoted to those same four things. Today, we meet every week to study the Word of God, the Bible, God's holy word. We believe that every single person needs to be in a life group. There needs to be that love, that connection, that accountability, the breaking of bread. Every week at Shepherd, we serve communion. You know that there are many churches that no longer serve communion because it's either too time consuming or they believe it has become ritualistic in nature. It's no longer the primary focus, but at Shepherd, we do it still each and every week. And our prayers are from our hearts. And so we're just like that church from the book of Acts chapter 2, the first church. So let me state this clearly. When you're baptized into Christ, it automatically puts you into His family and it puts you into His church. And by the way, it's the greatest family in the world. We come now to one of the most important things about baptism. Number 7 on our list, your baptism is intrinsically linked to your faith. They are connected. Baptism is connected to your faith. There are several bullets there in your notes. Number 1, your faith leads you to be obedient. In other words, if I'm in church and I see someone, or doesn't have to, could be at a lake, but if I see somebody going to be baptized, every step they take, their faith is what's propelling them to be obedient. So if you get baptized, it's a decision that you make, but it's a decision of faith. Baptism itself is kind of a physical thing that someone does to you, but you getting in that baptistry is a step of faith. Your faith is what leads you to be obedient. Secondly, your faith is actually seen in your obedience. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, He said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Your faith is seen in your obedience. So whatever you're doing, when you're being obedient, people are watching you do something for the Lord. What they're really looking at is they're looking at your faith. Number 3, write this down. Your obedience displays your faith. These are all the same thing, just being said different ways. But your obedience puts your faith on display. You know, when I see someone serving the Lord, I know that they are a person of faith. When I see someone who gives sacrificially, I know that they are a person of faith. When I see someone using their gifts to faithfully serve the local church or the local community, as long as they're doing it for the glory of God, I know that they are a person of faith. Again, their obedience puts their faith on display. Likewise, if I see someone who lives in total disobedience, I know that they're lacking faith. That makes sense, doesn't it? Many times God tells us to do something that makes no sense to us. It's like He's testing us. He asks us to do something that might seem silly, yet He's asking us to do these certain things to see whether or not we really are a person of faith. The Bible is full of illustrations of this. There's a man named Naaman in the Old Testament. He was like a military man, but the Bible says he was covered in leprosy. And God told him through the prophet, this military man covered in leprosy, he said, Naaman, I want you to go dip 7 times in the pool or in the river of Pharpar, the Pharpar River. The Pharpar River was this dirty, muddy river. And Naaman wants to be cleansed. He wants to be made whole. God says, I can heal you, but I want you to go dip in that river, the river Pharpar. So Naaman goes, and he was told to dip 7 times. He goes down once, he comes up, he's still a leper. He goes down a second time, he comes up, he's still a leper. He goes down the third time, he comes up, he's still a leper. He dips 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. He comes up, he's still a leper. Now God had told him to dip 7 times. I think it was a test to see if you'll do what I'm asking you to do. Naaman obeyed. He went down the 7th time. The Bible says when he came up out of that river, that his skin was like a newborn baby. That makes me want to go dip 7 times in the river Pharpar. Can someone say amen to that? But it was a test. And he wanted to know if Naaman was a person of faith, if he would be obedient. And Naaman passed the test. I think of Abraham, probably one of the greatest figures in the entire Bible. God told him to take his son, Isaac, his one and only son, and go up and sacrifice his son. And that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to you. Why? No one would ever think that's normal, but it was a test. And Abraham passed the test because he walked up that mountain. The Bible says he drew back his knife to sacrifice his son, and God said, stop right there. And it says at that moment that righteousness was accredited to Abraham. It was a test. He becomes the father of our faith through that test, that exercise of would he or would he not obey God when it seemed like a strange request. I think of even the blind man where God asked, or Jesus asked the blind man, go dip in the pool of Siloam. Well, Jesus could have healed that blind man just like that. Jesus could have spoken and healed that blind man. But instead he told the blind man, go dip in the pool of Siloam. And again, it was a test. Like, why are you asking? Why don't you just heal me? Go dip in the pool of Siloam. Well, the blind man goes, and as he dips in that pool, God restores his vision. It was a test. And I believe, and I know that not all of you might see this, but I believe your baptism is just like one of those tests. God says, you say you love me. You say you're a person of faith. You say you want to be a Christian, then get up there and be baptized. Well, that seems a little strange. Why do I need to do that? I just want to see if you'll do whatever I ask you to do. And so your faith is what gets you up, gets you to the front, gets you in this baptistry. It's all a picture of someone who has truly put their faith in the Lord. You see, if someone refuses to be baptized, are they really a person of faith if we know that Jesus was the one that asked us to be baptized? So just like Naaman, you know, he dipped 7 times in the river Pharpar. It was a test of faith. Just like Abraham sacrificing his son, God said, oh, it was just a test. Just like the blind man, will you obey me? I believe that the Lord is calling each of you to be baptized. He just wants to see if you'll do whatever he asks you to do. So when you're baptized, it is directly linked to your faith. Your willingness to do something that seems silly to you or unnecessary to you can actually be you passing God's test to see if you are a person of faith. So let's review what we've discussed here today. We're looking at 8 consequential connections or divine tie-ins to your baptism. You're not just getting dunked. Something spiritual happens in the baptistry. Number one, we've looked at you're following Jesus' example. Secondly, you're obeying his commands. Thirdly, it is symbolic of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Number 4, it's an action that requires humility. You can't even get in here unless you're humble of heart. Number five, it is exactly Peter's instruction on the very first day of the church to the very first believers. Number six, it's what puts you into the family of God. Number seven, it intrinsically is linked to your faith. This is all about faith. In number eight, the last one, the last point, this is how you are clothed with Christ. Yes, I said that. This is how you're actually clothed with Christ. The Bible says, now look at this verse. This is in Galatians 3, verse 27. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. What does that mean, to clothe yourselves with Christ? That means that you cover yourself with Christ. You clothe yourself with Christ. You lose yourself in Christ. I dare you again to even suggest to me that nothing spiritual happens when you're baptized. I tell you, if you study the scriptures concerning baptism, read every one of them and read them a second time, read them a third time. They're in the back of your booklet. If you'll turn, they're all listed there. You will see clearly these eight consequential connections and many more that are linked to your baptism and to the name of Jesus Christ. As we close, I want you to think about your decision to get baptized in terms of a wedding. Now, stay with me on this. Imagine that you're about to get married. And if you're already married, you can think back to that moment you were married and you were thinking about getting married. What do? Well, you invite your family and your friends, you invite everyone you know to share with you this joyous occasion. Why, it would be quite silly for you to say, I want to get married, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm in love. I don't want anyone to know that I'm getting married. No, again, when you get married, you invite everyone you know. You want the world to know that you have chosen this spouse and that you love this individual. And it'd be so silly for the pastor to say, now, do you take this woman to be married as your wife, or do you take this man to be your husband? And you respond by saying, yes, I do, but I don't want anyone to know. It's our little secret, pastor. Don't tell anybody. No, that doesn't even make sense. You want everyone to see you celebrate this wedding, which is supposed to be the best day of your life. Well, the same is true of your baptism. You want to tell the whole world that I'm in love with Jesus and I want to spend the rest of my life with Him. You want to tell everyone, I believe that Jesus saved me. I love Him. I belong to Him, and now He belongs to me. Oh, baptism is so much more than just getting dunked. Something spiritually divine happens when you're baptized. Don't underestimate the significance or importance of your decision. Be here next weekend. We'll be answering the question, do I have to be baptized? And the week after that, on March 12th and 13th, everybody write it down, March 12th and 13th, we'll be doing two things. One, we'll be discussing the prerequisites of baptism. It's our last message on baptism. But secondly, right after that message, we'll be going outdoors to conduct baptisms for anyone desiring to be baptized. If you want or need to be baptized, fill out that card that was on your chair, turn it in at the information booth right after service. Let's bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. I thank you for this message. I'm thankful that I was able to share my heart with so many people, that people are here listening and they're learning, and we're studying God's word in regards to being baptized. Lord, I pray that as we go through this material, that every single person would have a heart that would be soft and eyes that would see your truth and your word. Lord, help us to walk and to live in faith, to realize that there is something spiritually that happens, significant, that happens when we're baptized into your name. We're not just getting wet, we're not just getting dunked, But this is a part of your plan for every single person to put their faith and trust in you, to believe in you, to turn, to repent from their past, and to be baptized, to be buried with Christ, to have their sins washed away, to receive this gift called the Holy Spirit. And then we join together as a church, as a family, and we devote ourselves to the things of God. Lord, be with every single person in this room who's never been baptized. Help them to seriously consider, if they've never yet surrendered and been baptized into Christ, help them to fill out that card, turn that card in today, and we will baptize them on the weekend of March 12th and 13th. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen.